Well, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Am I on? Okay. Been a great blessing to be here this morning. Sitting there listening to the Word of God, it was refreshing. We heard about Jesus and we heard about His perfect will for our life this morning. It's been a blessing to listen to you brothers go through the book of Romans. My desire would be today that we would just continue that. Some of the thoughts that some of you young men brought about, a couple thoughts that come to my mind is we don't get anywhere without 100% surrender. You know, we need 100% surrender. I heard that a few times. That's very effective in life, 100% surrender. It's a theology, but it's not always a reality. So this morning maybe we will rise together for a word of prayer. Thank you. We can rise, we can pray. So Father in heaven, this morning as I bow before you, as we as your people come before thy presence with thanksgiving in our heart, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for health and strength. Thank you for clear minds. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for clear salvation, clear redemption, the many blessings that we are partakers of. Thank you for allowing us to be partakers of the divine influence, the divine grace, Lord, that you give us. Help us not to be high-minded as we share today. Help us but to fear, Lord. We were those orphans that were grafted in. And as the days and years go by, help that to become more of a reality, Lord, that we would not be high-minded, but we would fear. We thank you, Father, for the word. We pray that you would take a few of these thoughts that you laid upon my heart, that we would convey it together, that we would learn together what your will is, that we could grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this gathering. We pray that you'd be in our midst. We pray that you would allow there to be understanding, allow there to be communication. We pray against the spirit of the enemy, the adversary of our soul, Lord, that he could be held by the power of your spirit through the word this day. We love you, we thank you, and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a few thoughts that we'd like to share today is a little bit of a continuation of what we have talked about on some messages that we were having. Today, the title of the message would be The Vision of the Church. It's a continuation of the last two topics or some thoughts that we shared a little bit. We were sharing about marriage and family and its union and how it works in a way in the kingdom of God, according to God's word. And it's not close to done. You know, we could start over and do it again. But today we'd like to look at the vision and the purpose, maybe the vision of the church of Jesus Christ. A little bit of recap in the past is vision. Many times, either is made by responding or reacting. You know, if somebody didn't have a right marriage or a right family life, we're bound determined to have one, and we start going on a reactionary trip and we end up with a worse one. But when we respond to God, He wants to give us what the desires of our hearts are when we're responding to Him. Making decisions, these decisions affect us. Not reacting to our past, not reacting to the way we were treated. This has a lot to do with marriage, it has a lot to do with family life, and it also has a lot to do with church life. We respond and react the way we were treated. So parents, we talked about mothers and fathers being unified, being together, being one, being a strong unit. And then from that, we talked about children being obedient to their parents. We talked about parents being in authority in their homes, not children, not child-centered homes, if I remember right. I should have asked for that. Maybe you have a better, some of you have a better memory. And God's plan for children is that they would walk and follow the truth by instruction, not by in failure all the time. And I feel like some of those things are bigger than I even put my life into. The expectation of just failing every generation is not the intention in the heart of God throughout the Bible. So it is preparing themselves to repeat the same vision by instruction. This is the plan and the intent of God. In the world, it seems to be a norm. This is a little bit of recap. That about every few generations needs to restart. So the title of a few thoughts that we had earlier as we went into this was rekindle a vision. I like the word rekindle. I also think of revival. Sometimes the word revival and rekindle can be interchangeable, but many people live on revival. And revival is good. But a vision by instruction is the intention of God. Isn't that a blessing? God has an intention. So our desire would be that we wouldn't have to restart in 20 years. Restart the whole thing. So we would like to stir in our minds. I would like to stir in my mind today God's intention for the church. And so today I was just, there's a few thoughts. Today I'm sure this will be, again, like we shared, scratching a surface. Just a few points, a few thoughts I have. And we can have continued conversation about that, adding and taking away. Today I would like to look at a thought that I was having yesterday. Our view of the church will directly shape our view of God and salvation, and what the will of God is for mankind. It's a view. All of us have a view. A view. We have a mind's view of what the church is. And so today we'd like to look at that, try to endeavor to look at that through the Word of God and also through a little bit of history. When we say the Word of God, that is primarily, sometimes if you hear the word plumb line or you hear the word a reference point, that's what the final reference point is. So there'll be some inserts that I will share from history. They'll have error, but we're going to try to be faithful to the reference point, the pillar and the ground of truth, Jesus Christ. So I want to give, this morning I was thinking, I'd like to have a little bit of feedback. I have three questions. You can jot them down, and I would like to have a little bit of feedback. The first question is, what is the church? It's an extraction of what's in our mind. So I thought about this for some time, and as I actually thought about this, I thought I probably went in and out of these thoughts in the last 20 years of my life, yesterday, in the last few days, of what I think of the church, how I've used the church, how I've viewed it. And I was humbled. I was humbled by the way I think sometimes. I was just blessed to think, try to continue to bring my mind in line with God's word, what God says about the church. So what is the church? I would like some feedback on that. What authority does the church have on earth? The second question. The third one is, what authority does the church have in my personal life? Think of some verses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I was thinking, one of the brothers shared this morning about something in light of good works there in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the primary goal in life for the church is to glorify God. So in that equation, I had the thought, how do most people know that there has been a change in life? That there's been a change in an individual, or a change in a community, or a change in a business? How do most people know? If I could tell you all the things that we've changed last week in our home, we've tried to change and correct, I could tell you by word, I hope you would believe me. But mostly what brings us to a place of convincing and belief? It's by this word. It is by a revelation of what's going on. You know, Jesus says, by the fruit you shall know a man. And we love to share, we love to talk. But the reality is, oh, how they love each other. Oh, how they lay their life down for one another. We can say that all day long, but if it isn't happening, everyone can see that. Isn't that something? I can say all day long the things that I aspire and go for my family or even for the brotherhood, but if it isn't happening, who knows it? Everyone around, they can see it. So I thought it was a blessing for me to think about that. So that question is, what is the church? Just for a little clarification, when you have that going through your mind, think of it in there's two ways that we could answer that, but today we'll look at the vision of the church. You could look at it two ways. We'll probably spend a little bit of time at it both ways, as more of a position, and also outside of a position, it's active. The church is always active. It's moving. But it also has a position according to God's word. The church is positioned. And so with that being said, I thought of a song that we sang a few times this week. Maybe Brother John, you could sing. We could sing together 341.
Thank you.
that's a, hopefully you can make sense out of that a little bit. It's a bridge. Something that I've thought of a number of times in my life, that there's a bridge of life. All of us have decisions to make. And so as I thought of that, I thought, what are some thoughts? This morning I was thinking, what are some thoughts that are on your mind? What is the church? We'll just write some of those down. I have some wrote down. What is the church, whether it's active or whether it's a position? When you think of the church, what is that? Someone want to share? The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Yep. Do that. Go ahead. Keep on. Somebody have something?
A reflection of God's truth.
We'll just write. Truth. Okay, what was that?
Living.
Now you're going to get my spelling, brothers. Living body. I'll do that. That'll spare me. Somebody else?
Called out.
It's hard to be wrong. So it's not. Somebody have other thoughts?
Glory.
We just sang that song, Glory.
Born again.
Should have had more room. Born again. We'll just stop there. Add the list, and we go through the Word of God, and it continues on and on. Some thoughts. Appreciated that. Some of the thoughts I had is the body. Body of Christ. The other thought is a building fitly framed together. And some of the thoughts I looked at was it's a government. And the word government has had a different, some thoughts I've been thinking. It's a bride. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it's the pillar and the ground of truth. So those are thoughts that they're all about the same in a lot of ways. But so I appreciate it. Them are all kind of, so I like the living body. It's active. So there's some activeness there. Here's kind of position. You know, there's truth. There's a plumb line. And here's the bride. The bride is somewhat positioned. Does my wife change because of circumstances? Not necessarily. If she decides not to be my wife, she can go across the bridge and go away. She don't have to be my wife no more. But she will always be my bride. The bride is always going to be on earth. Jesus Christ, He's coming back for the bride. So the called out ones, they're called out. It's important. That's a powerful meaning. There's glory. The church has glory. What is that glory? And born again is very, very essential, because the church is made up of all those truths, and probably many, many more. We could go on and on with that. But I appreciated that. Thank you, brothers, for that. It is a concept and thought of some that the church was only born in the New Testament, or the idea and the passion and the intention of God was born in the New Testament. I believe it was fulfilled, but it started at the intent of God. His heart was always for a people. Some would even say that the church was not born. I would say that there's fulfillment here, but the church was not born until the book of Acts. Everything up until the book of Acts was Old Testament, and it's not relevant. There's ideas like that. There's more of a fulfillment as you go through the New Testament. God's intent from cover to cover has always been a people called out of the world. Always been His intention. And that is a beautiful message this morning. From cover to cover. Called out of the world. Called out of darkness into His light. Study the Old Testament. When I study the Old Testament, What is some of the... There's different things that God calls His people in the Old Testament. And we'll look at some of those scriptures here. If you turn to that. If you can turn to it, I'll probably turn to some of these scriptures. I have them for reference. If you can get to them, we will try to not be too speedy, but we'll go through some scriptures probably a little quickly here. What God calls the church in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. If you can take those down, Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He found him in a desert. And I thought, you can interpret these things as you personally, but he found him in the desert. In the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Isaiah 62:3, it says, Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou, and if you read in those scripture contexts in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, it's him, it's thou, it's a people. It's a people. A royal diadem in the hand of thy God. In Zechariah 2 verse 8, it says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me into the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. In Zechariah 9 verse 16, another scripture, it says, And the Lord their God shall save them. You see the, and the Lord their God. We're not against individuals, Christianity. It's important to be born again. And the Lord their God will save them. Will save them. It's kind of like an axe that whole households were saved. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. The flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. There's the heart of God in the land. God wanted a people for an ensign to show forth his glory in the Old Testament. And then some verses in New Testament, it talks about, Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There was always an intention of God there that seemed to do a deeper work in my heart. As I see the times where in my life where the church was just a little bit less important than really it should have been in my own life. But the church is very important this morning. It's not an additive to my life. It's essential to our lives. So those are other questions that we ask. I ask those questions. What for authority does the church have on the earth? What for authority does the church have in my personal life? And so for us to think about that as we go through here, I had wrote down here some time ago, 50%, 75%, or 100%. In the third one, the same. 50, 75, or 100. It's a scale. It's a scale that made me meditate from our own lives. We talked together about this as a family. This concept is a mystery. You know, I think about in the Old Testament, God calls the church there, we've heard it. What did he call the church multiple times? Somebody want to share that. What did he call the church in the Old Testament multiple times? The apple of his eye. You know, when there's someone in your life that's the apple of your eye, and that primarily in marriage. That's why the New Testament a lot of times brings husbands and wives. Marriage. The apple of a man's life is his wife. And when her life gets touched, that man's touched. Because of that effect. Another individual could be touched. It doesn't affect that much. When she hurts, he hurts. When she is blessed, he is blessed. That's our God. That's in court. That's why the marriage is brought in there. We talked about that earlier, so we won't go over that. When everything is doing well and everything is fine in homes or in churches, it's us. We're happy to be us. But when there's a trouble, it's them. It's a view. It's how we think. And I'm blessed this morning to be part of men that when I'm in trouble, it's us. You'll help me. When we're in trouble, when there's some problems, it's us. We'll help each other. It's pretty discouraging. It's pretty disheartening when sometimes when you get those ideas, I'm out. When things get tough, that happens. That happens because we get discouraged. I had to think God can do amazing things when we allow Him to guide us with His eye. You know, when you're guided by God, He can do amazing things. So nothing, just as it can be, so nothing can be between the husband and wife. It's hard to get away from that. Nothing can be between the husband and wife. So it is in the church. Nothing can be between the church and its head. Nothing. The other thought was given there is the body of Christ. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Very familiar scriptures. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Wrong scripture reference. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, it says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So that reference in the body of Christ there. So as we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And there's something there that we have heard that. I know most of us have probably heard that all our life. But to be a member in the body of Christ is the highest calling there is. Mankind wants to climb a ladder of success and become CEOs and become managers of operations, and those things are not necessarily wrong. But to become a member of the body of Christ on earth, I want to make that beautiful this morning. In the midst of all her troubles, there's troubles on every hand at times, but to be a member of the body of Christ is beautiful. You know, the body of Christ, if you turn also your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." You know, the body of Christ this morning is in 1577 in the Strong's. It's the ecclesia. You know, we know those things. The ecclesia of God. It is the, you know, there's other words, compound words from some of these meanings. Like if you look up a word, a lot of times it's interesting looking up scriptures and then other scriptures to compound, to bring it together. And it brings the word of God to life and makes it true. A compound word in the 1537 in the Strong that says, an action precedes. You know, the ecclesia, the church of God, now we get a little bit more on the living body. It's a living organism. Its action precedes. It moves forth. It's always moving. It's from out of. It's a place of time. It's a cause. So if we're here this morning and we know that there's a cause, it should inspire us. It should be the greatest inspiration that we ever need in life. The greatest. No matter how much money we made or lost last year. But to be part of this good cause, this good, great cause. You know, from out of a place into a time for a cause. It is either directly here this morning or remotely. The church is, so this morning we can sit here and think, well, I want a fellowship with the church in China. Well, we want to, but we can't. So we have to visit directly and work out church life and work out the brotherhood, the ecclesia of God, moving forward toward God. in the pillar of ground, in the ground of truth. It is a assembly also. It is a called out people. The one meeting said it's a popular meeting. I want to think about that. It's a popular meeting this morning. We have a lot of meetings we go to. It's a popular meeting. It's a Christian community of members, of saints. A Christian community. I'm blessed to be part of that this morning. That's given up for cheap causes many times. Just a Christian community, a brotherhood. It's the saints on earth. It's an assembly. It's a called out of the world. One of the things that we want to look at a little bit today is you see the bridge, you see the church and the world, and there's a great gulf fixed between the world and the church. And as I meditated on that, there seemed to be a deep convictions in my own life. And so today at the preaching of Jesus this morning about the beauty of the church, we would also like to make a good, clear call to come out of the world, because you never can compromise with the world. The church has always made a clear call to come out of the world. You know, that's what has become many times so discouraging for many situations. And there's one beautiful thing about this is there's also the third part that I was looking at. This is a government. And we won't have time to get into all these words, all these things that were shared. It's a government. Because this morning there's two reasons that I have thought of here. There could be many more. That the church is distinctly different from the world. So these two reasons is that it is built on true love. That's what the church is built on, true love. Secondly, it's 100% voluntary. You don't have to be part of the church. You don't. But with that being said, you will be part of a people. You will always be part of a people. We're created that way. We're created that way. May that be an encouragement. If you want to be part of a people, come and be part of the church. Come. It's the greatest government ever because of these principles. It's the greatest government ever. The choice is ours. It is the only kingdom that don't operate by force. By a complete 100% surrender, as the brothers were sharing this morning. We want to look how government works. See, sometimes that word government has scared us because reactions, responses, the way things are done. But as I thought of that word govern, we want to look at it a little bit through the Word of God in Acts chapter 15. I just want to look at it, something that was very, I think we all know this as we are men and we study the Bible. But Acts chapter 15, we'll see a little bit of that happening there in the kind of the onset of the church, the fulfillment as the church, the ecclesia, the called out in the New Testament was fulfilled. Acts chapter 15, there was a situation arose in that church in Acts there. Verse 5, it says, "But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." And we see that in verse 6, it says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter." That means the two verses on the onset of that. They come together. And then if you go on over, there's more dialogue there. And you go on over to verse 22, the delegation is sent to Antioch. The delegation of this coming together is sent to Antioch. And we're going to look how it's sent. There was some serious council taking place here. There was serious church council. And it was a blessing. Because that's why the church is going on today. Because of some of these beautiful truths. Verse 22 it says, Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch.
with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. And I parenthesize this in my Bible. They wrote letters by them after this manner. And this is what they wrote. I think if I'm correct, we could correct this here. They wrote, "The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto you, brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as you have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." This is still the letter. They wrote, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." This is what they give them: "That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well." Fare ye well. This seems to be a letter. This seemed to be it was inspiring for me to see that. Then it says, you continue on there, it says, "Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered this epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation." There was a rejoicing for that consolation with that situation in the book of Acts. And it was because the church had a government there. They had a governing authority. I realize that there's a lot of things in life that could be talked about this. A lot of scenarios. But the beauty of the Word of God is pure. It's holy. You know, they asked them there in to abstain from meat offered to idols. Have you ever been asked to abstain from something and you say, well, what's wrong with it? Why can't I do it? Some of these things are very, 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 very prevalent. They come home to us. But it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit to move this way. This is how they did it in Acts. This is God's plan. We don't make things the commandments of God that are not God's commandments. But we practically move forward. The church moves forward. And if we can't do that, then the world will influence the church to move forward. We don't have a choice. It's a beautiful thing to see that. When I looked at that, I was just blessed with that. In Acts 15, if you go there to verse 23 to 29, we just read that. We see how it was done. It wasn't this. How would you say this? It wasn't this. Close your eyes. And everything just kind of went however it went. It wasn't that way. Even in the book of Acts, there was clear direction in the book of Acts of how they resolved a situation through church council, through church government. Now, that church government isn't just a few people. It's a church. It's the gifts of the church. The beauty was there, it pleased everyone. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 5, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 3, verses 1, we won't read all those verses for the sake of time, but we just look at a little bit of a church, the way the church government works. This starts off by the qualifications of a deacon, or also bishop, deacon. But verse 4, I would like to look in there. Verse 4, it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And as I read those verses, I had to think about those things. But we are all called to think about these things. How can we be able to not govern one part of our life and yet govern a greater part of? And as I looked at that and I thought, this is God's design, because this is how we can help each other. It's a clear pattern from God. And when we go around this pattern and we get feelings, and sometimes we have feelings that get in the way, but this pattern of God works. See, this doesn't mean, as I looked at the word rule, sometimes that scares us. But it doesn't mean sometimes what we think because of our experiences. It doesn't. It simply means whoever can't govern, guide and govern. See, the word rule, we think of stick and beat, but the word isn't that. It's govern. It's direct. Whoever can't do that is unqualified. It's according to the Word of God. It's a government. To me, it was a blessing for my own personal life. It takes an anointing from the Holy Spirit. It's a conduct within a particular activity. Sometimes those things are done better in worldly spheres. When it comes down to the church, it has a different take on. Government is not a bad thing this morning. The government of the New Testament is a blessing. It's a great blessing. The church is beautiful this morning. From God's word, the church council should always be seeking truth from God's word, not something we come up with and make something we come up with God's word. It's that way. It's truth, because we'll look at that further in 1 Timothy about the pillar and the ground of truth. This is a great mystery of godliness. This is a great mystery. In 1 Timothy there in 3, you keep it right there. Verse 14, it finishes off with the bishops and deacons. And in verse 14, it says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And so the pillar and the ground of the truth is the church. Remember, we asked the question, how much authority does the church have on earth? How much does it have in my life? Some of the meanings there, if I think of, we get strong. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. Watch our attitudes. The church of Jesus Christ this morning is a pillar and the ground of the truth. Of the truth. And that is powerful this morning, because when we share something that's a bit erring, you can talk about it, because we want to bring it to the plumb line. We want to bring it to the truth. And that's a great freedom this morning, to be submitted to the truth. So the pillar and ground of truth. See, a pillar in 1 Timothy there, the pillar means in verse 15, the church of the living God, comma, the pillar and ground of the truth. See, the pillar means a column and a support. Sometimes it is individuals. We like to be strong. But sometimes it's not even that. It's a picture of a strong church that is a pillar. I would rather look at it that way than trying to make myself strong. I would rather look at it as I belong to a group of brothers that are strong. They're pillars. They're a pillar of truth. And the ground means it's a foundation. It's a solid foundation. It's a base. Again, it's the truth. It's a base. We drew that bridge. It's a base that we call the world to. And when we're not convinced of the church this morning, then we're very likely probably on the bridge back on compromise. Because we want to win the world, don't we? The world, as we love God and we love the church, and we want to see the world saved. But there are hindrances to this vision. We'll look at some of them. It's not always easy to look at negatives. But there are hindrances sometimes. If you look at some of the history of hindrances, I want to read a couple of inserts of some history. This is interesting. It's an interesting story of a young man. Dan Yoder shifted in his seat near the window. He had a hard time staying awake and keeping his mind on a sermon. He kept thinking about the many times he had heard this familiar story in the 30 years of his life. Everyone knew about this story, this creation and the beginnings and the creation story of God. Why ministers preach this all the time? He was musing this. Why they preach it all the time? Wasn't it about time they preached the gospel with more zeal, more evangelical emphasis? His mind was wondering. We do that. It's time that he also pictured himself one day. He pictured himself standing in front of a big crowd of people, preaching with fiery words, pointing out need for salvation and repentance. The people would wake up and listen then, he was thinking. This was a man's thoughts. So they'll listen then. There was so much to preach about from the New Testament. If Dan were a preacher, he would be a long time before he would preach about creation. Everybody knew about that. So years later, Dan, he left this setting. He went for more lively preaching. It was a new church. Dan was active in promoting the gospel message. He was. And whenever he had an occasion, he would attend his former church. And he could hardly remain silent afterwards. They were still preaching the same story. Of course, when he would leave those things, he could never keep his mouth shut about criticism in the presence of his children. He conveyed an evangelical emphasis to his sons, and when they grew up, it seemed they saw no need for retaining any of the form that their father's church still clung to. Instead, they needed to be free to promote the gospel message without being hampered by such forms. They chose to leave it. Their father attended in favor with one of them in fewer restrictions. They chose to leave now even their father's lifestyle. Dan consoled himself. However, the fact is that they were still very active in missions. At least they had not rejected that. And for history, 40 years have passed. An elderly man was traveling by Greyhound one day, seated beside a neatly dressed young man. The young man introduced himself, "I'm on my way to the mission field." He said, "That's the most important thing for Christians today, isn't it? To spread the gospel message." The older man nodded his head in agreement. "To be a light to the world is indeed our responsibility as Christians," he said. "That is our purpose in life, to build up God's church." Then he asked the young man, "How do you begin if you wish to present the gospel story to people you have never heard, who have never heard?" "Well," said the young man, "I usually start with John 3:16, God so loved the world, and Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The young man said, "People need to know first that there is no one perfect and that God loves us so much that he gave his son for us while we were yet sinners." So he asked, do you not start in the front of the Bible and try to preach creation and show them why there's a fall, why there's a downside?" And he said, "No," he said, "because we know that the origin of this world isn't accurately recorded there anyway." This is 40 years later, this young man. "The origin of this world isn't accurately recorded in the Old Testament." "Really? How did it all come about then? You don't believe the theory of evolution, do you?" And remember, he's on the way to the mission field. "Well, not entirely, but there's some truth to it." This is a true story. It's a history story. There's holes in it. We don't have time for that. "But how do you connect Jesus Christ and the gospel to the creation story? Aren't they clearly unrelated?" the young man asked. "The answer to that question I will ask you first. Do you believe that people need to be saved?" was the old man's question. Well, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going overseas to the mission field. What do people need to be saved from? From their sins, of course. And where do we first read of the sin of man? Well, he said, I suppose in Genesis somewhere. But we usually go by the New Testament is more relevant. Then the young man said, I'm really curious. This is interesting. Tell me more about this. It was a 40-year cycle. And this morning, this isn't balancing out missions. This isn't saying anything, but rather, ye are a witness upon this earth. We cannot go anywhere with partial truths. The church will be back on the road to truth, the truth compromise bridge. You know, the song we sang this morning was written by Charles Wesley. And if you have that song, look at that line that blessed me as we sang it this week, 341. It says in that line, call them into thy wondrous light, worthy to walk with thee in white, the third stanza. Make up thy jewels, Lord, and show thy glorious spotless church below. From every sinful wrinkle free, redeemed from all iniquity. Now, this is also just a song. The fellowship of saints make known, oh my God, may I be one. And I want us to say this morning that the world likes to identify with forgiveness of sin and freedom from, I don't know for sure how it's interpreted, but that's only here. That's only here. In the world, they like the principles of here. The world loves the principles of the church. They practice many of them. The businesses and lives and communities. We love the principles of the word because they work. They work, but the separated ones is another word. The separated people come out from among the world. Love the truth. True forgiveness and deliverance from sins starts when a man steps out of the world and gets on the bridge and comes toward the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, toward Jesus Christ. We're not missing that. Toward Jesus. It's not in the world. The kingdom of God is conditional. It's conditional. It's come. And I was just blessed with that. So this morning I thought, well, the years in my life that I have been invited by preaching and been invited by the Word of God. And I thought this morning we could do it again. We could make another invitation. That there may be someone here this morning that knows they're in the world. Maybe. Very likely. Maybe they have some inklings that this is truth. The church is true. The Word of God is true. And maybe you stepped on that and you don't know for sure. Make it sure this morning. The Word of God is sure, the sure word of prophecy. Make it true in your life this morning, in my life. Inviting men and women. It is very tempting for a generation to think we love this world. And so let's go out of here with our music a little bit. Let's go out of here with our clothing. Let's go out of here just a little bit and start going across this bridge. And beloved, this morning, make the call and stay away from it. Always make that call. Stand in the pillar and the ground of truth. And when men come, there's men coming. Sometimes there's men coming from this world, and they meet some of these in the center of this bridge. And they tell you, what are you doing? Don't go that way. I've been there. They tell you that. But sometimes in blindness, we say, we're going to reach them. We're going to reach them. A little bit of that story was born through that history story. This is going back to an old government of reality. We'll always have the same results. So the church this morning has how much authority in the world? Even though it don't look like it. It's the greatest authority there is. The church is the greatest authority there is because the head is Jesus Christ. There are many professions in the world that mock the church. And as the prophet Isaiah said, there are many this morning that will take good church life and church government. And I realize all this. But I want to say that it's a mockery. It's a mockery. In Isaiah's times it was, and in this day it's the same. They will call evil good and good evil in Isaiah. It will happen today. But if we're grounded on a pillar and the ground of truth, may your good works be evil spoken of, and it doesn't matter. The Bible says, we're not holding up our own. But back to the fact this morning that when the world sees the church, you know what they see? They see the light. They see good works. They see the glory of God on earth. And we struggle with it because we want to say, well, let's not be so radical. Just follow Jesus. Live for Jesus. It's the church. See, the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. The Amplified Bible says in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. The church completes all things. It's not just an afterthought, but it's the essence of Christianity, the church of Jesus Christ. Be careful how I use her. Be careful how I use her. In our experiences in life, we have had ups and downs, but in the Word of God, all through the history of God's people, when men have an encounter with Jesus, it seems to be a pattern that they long for fellowship. They long to find true believers, and they forgive their enemies, and they love their families. Things change. There's something always happens, starts to happen. And when that happens on that bridge, God is doing a work. You know, Brother Nelson was sharing earlier, we just need to know that we're going to keep going. Maybe we don't know for sure where we're at. That's not negative this morning. But if we find ourselves, we don't know. Maybe we're in the center and we look over the edge and we see the great gulf fixed. And we know that we don't know where our soul stands in eternity. Maybe we don't. But keep going toward the truth. Keep going toward the truth. And you will find it. The Bible promises that. You will find it. The truth is not far from any one of us. The smallest matters that turn us back on compromise. We talked about that. Some of the hindrances. We talked about some of those things. It don't matter. I just want to impress on our hearts this morning that everything matters. If the church doesn't have a government in my life, then the world will have one. Someone will govern my life. Someone will govern my life. Some of the most hard things to work with on this bridge, this compromising hindrance, is because usually when there's a start of compromise, there's an automatic profession of more prayer, more Bible reading, and more we get lost. We don't know how to respond. But many times, beloved, those things are just a facade. They're just a facade. True believers, we need more prayer. You know, we need more prayer. We need more truth. We need to follow Jesus. We need to obey the Word of God. We need this. We have lived our life in the world too long. We must answer these questions. We must answer these questions. The thought there in the last one, how much authority does it have in my personal life? And I was thinking, on the way we hear those things, we're not asking how much authority do I have in your life, or how much authority do you really have, Dad, in my life. That's not how we think. It's not a proper thinking. Does the church have authority in my life? And when we sit down and we visit with brothers and we learn, that blessed me. That brother, he corrected my thought. Isn't that a blessing? How many times has that happened in your life? It's a blessing. It don't always have to be, come over here, I'm going to correct you. It's, we learn. We love our brothers. They mean something to us. Or we are a pillar of our own. And we have the church all wrapped around my own idea. It's It's pretty heretical in reality. It is. I'd say that cautiously, but it's not long term. It's very, very short lived. So long for fellowship, authority in my life. There's a continued divide right here on that bridge to the called out ones. It is amazing. Sometimes to me, I have a little more. I think I have a little bit more. I'll bring it to a close. It is amazing to me, and I'm sure some of you brothers that are older, what men will do to start back on the bridge of compromise. Some of the smallest matters. Some of the smallest matters. They'll get back on that bridge and draw from the government of this world. Again, it is a high point. May the church of God on earth not do that in life. Our children, we will never reach the world when we're fashioned like it. We won't be able to spice it up a little bit more so we can draw the world. We won't be able to do that. It's beautiful enough. It's positioned from eternity, and we love it. We obey it. The danger this morning, it's very repelling to a sinner. This is something that I would say in my early teens. It was very repelling to me. Now, you can give testimony too. When I saw a man professing to be a Christian and he was walking toward the world, I was in the world. But I would look, and I would look out across that bridge in my early teens, and I thought, is there any hope for me? But then I would see men that would be faithful, and it was drawing. But them men never stepped on this bridge and come back over. And I'm thankful to Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning for men in my life that said, come, brother, come. And I would say to you this morning, sinner friend, come. We can't come get you. You have to come. You have to come away from this world and be part of the church, the kingdom of God. The bridge of compromise this morning is well traveled. The bridge of compromise is well traveled. A closing verse, some closing thoughts in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Just a closing encouragement for us as a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Two verses that were very powerful, have always been since the foundation of the church. And then in Ephesians, it gives that verse about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And with those verses in mind, I would like to leave us with an encouragement this morning. And maybe there could be other thoughts shared around this. Leave us this. I want this to be an encouragement. May this be the endeavoring passion of my life and your life. That our focus would be to keep the unity of the Spirit and not focusing on flexing our muscles. I have a right to this. It will make a big difference in the long term. It will make a big difference. You see, when we focus on the fact that we are so different, many times that is good. We are different by giftings for sure. This morning, when I think of the brethren in here, we are so different. But when our intentions are to prove to everyone how different I am, something goes awry with that. Something seems to go awry with that through some of my musings and readings and studying history. The generation after us, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Don't go on the bridge. You know, when your mommy and your daddy tell you that music's got to go, you can't listen to that. That won't work. It could even be four-part music. There's something about when we're drawing from the world, we will get on that bridge, sometimes unintentionally. Let's strive, speaking the same thing. That verse in Corinthians says, the same things, the same mind, and the same judgment. There's three sayings that I have circled in my Bible. That's my desire. That, and I've been part of you brothers, and I'm blessed by that. You hear brothers speaking the same thing. Let's do that. Let's not speak two things. It's been a precious. The church has become more precious to me, and we want it to become more precious to our family. May the church of God be the apple of our eye. May it be that for us. God bless you all, and thank you for your attentiveness. Let's pray for each other.